This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Eye on College Basketball podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Eye on College Basketball podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And we are live at Yankee Stadium for opening day 2025 season about to get underway, and we start with a bang. The skipper of the New York Yankees, Mr. Aaron Boone. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
By the way, Sal, BT and Sal live from opening day on The Fan is brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. We already gave him the intro. Now we give him the good hearty official one. The Yankees manager in the house, in person, and in uniform. Like Little League. What's going on, Skip? How you doing today?
Yeah, exciting day. I try and tell our players this, too, all the time. Like, you know, have a little gratitude today. You know, reach out to somebody that played a role in you getting here. There's very few people in the history of this world that get to walk on a major league field, let alone Yankee Stadium for opening day. It's a big deal. So through all the nerves and excitement and all that's, you know, coming up with the season, like, take a little pause to drink in just how special of a day this is in so many ways. You know, living in the Northeast, it's summer's on the way. It's the start of the grind. It's a beautiful thing that I've been fortunate to be a part of all my life.
So big, in fact, that you're going to wear a jersey today. I didn't even know you owned a jersey, number 17. Yeah. You're going to be having that on today for opening day?
Oh, yeah. I wear a jersey more than people think, but very occasionally.
All right. You feeling any pressure? We know you got your contract, so we're happy. Congratulations.
Congrats
on that. But last time we saw you, you guys were, you know, game five, fumbling that game away in the World Series. High expectations. Are you feeling any pressure to get back and win the World Series going into this year?
Well, I guess. I mean, that's what we want. I mean, you want to play for it all. And that's what, you know, we come into spring training with those expectations, working towards that. But it's also important to realize that that's so far away from right now. We got to take care of so much and come together still as a club. And, you know, this is an exciting opening day, this is also the week of overreaction, one way or the other. You know, you get off to a great start, and even people that have been in this game covering it forever, there's going to be overexcitement, there's going to be worry, all of that. The biggest thing I like for my players is to kind of get get into the normalcy of the season. So whether that's getting your first hit, making your first play, driving in a run, like you want to just get settled so you get into the routine of the season, and then we go find out how good we're going
to
be.
Generally, you want to ease into spring training, but the first couple of weeks, it got better as it went along, but you guys were smashed with injuries, and that was a rough start for you guys down in Tampa.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, Garrett going down, you know, it was big. There's no hiding. You know, he's the ace of our staff. But that's part of the game, too. And, you know, whereas a lot of the talk is in and around our injuries, you know, we're hoping to get Luis Hill back a couple months into the season. Big G's, you know, doing a lot better, and I expect him back at some point. And, you know, the rest of the guys, I feel like, had a good build up in spring training. Like, so most of our position player group have all logged a good amount of innings, have all logged a good amount of at bats. So I feel good about that. You know, now it's just, we'll go find out for real.
You were able to weather the storm last year without Garrett Cole, but Luis Hill was a big part of that. Who are going to be the guys that you're going to need here to kind of weather the storm until you get them get
so healthy? Rotation-wise? I mean, obviously, so we brought in Max Fried, so I'm obviously very excited about him. He's had a great spring. He's integrated himself into our team and our clubhouse so well. So I'm really excited about that. Clark Schmidt's not too far behind. He should be a couple weeks into the season. He should be knocking on the – it's just about getting him built up to a certain point. So – and then we should get a couple relievers back in the first couple weeks, which will just help with the depth, obviously, down in the bullpen. So, you know, and right now that creates opportunities for the Will Warrens of the world. Cokie Carrasco kicked the door in with how well he's thrown the ball all spring. So excited to see those guys take their turn.
You know, Bodie, a lot of Yankee teams are fairly veteran laden. Okay, you know, this is a group that there's a lot of unknowns here, and I think that's probably exciting for some Yankee fans. Probably a little exciting, but also a little worrisome for you as well. How many of the young kids do you need to produce at a high level for this to be a special season?
Yeah,
a lot of pressure on those kids.
Yeah, those are you know what we call question marks, I guess, right? But we feel like we also feel like there's real answers there because of their talent, their ability. So we're gonna expect that, you know, four or five of our young guys become key contributors, core guys, and I don't think that's unrealistic to expect that they can deliver on that. So we're going to see some young players in there, obviously the Wells and the Volpes that have been here now, but Ben Rice is going to be in there today. Jason Dominguez now ready for his opportunity. So I'm excited to see what they can do. I'm confident that they can be really good contributors to us, but now we got to go do it.
No doubt. And it's always a fine line. Like, there's certain teams and certain cities where you can run a kid out there and let them find this way. It's the Yankees. This is New York. So there are expectations. There's a huge payroll. There's just a million things going on. The level of patience organizationally that you guys will have with not even anybody specific, but just a young player, what do you think it will be as they try to find their way and assimilate to the major leagues?
Yeah, look, these are guys that we have a lot of confidence in, so we're gonna you know, give them some time to figure this out, or but in a lot of ways, I think they have already figured it out. So I'm counting on them heavily. I'm counting on guys to take that next step in the progression of their career, like an Austin Wells, like an Anthony Volpe. And I'm confident in that that's going to happen. Now, you know, Ben Rice is going to get a shot here to get some real at-bats with Giancarlo down, and we're going to see what JD can do. But it's not a pipe dream to think these guys can't be really, really good. So there'll be some runway there. Look, everyone, there's going to be people, even if we get off to a tremendous start as a club, there's going to be guys in the lineup that struggle the first couple weeks, whether you're a rookie, whether you're a veteran. That's just the nature of the beast. So, you know, you try and make sure that, you know, between the ears, they're in a good frame of mind each and every day.
How fragile is that then with Jason Dominguez, who's already heard about his fielding, and now, let's hope it doesn't happen, but if he botches a ball in left field, the cries are going to get louder. Oh, my God, he can't feel it. How fragile is it? And then you're supposed to have him hitting leadoff, so now maybe he moves down in the line trying to protect him. How do you go about protecting a young player like that?
Well, first of all, Jason is a kid with a lot of confidence. When he first got called up, we saw, you know, what he did that first week that he got called up before he hurt his elbow and missed the rest most of the following year with the Tommy John. He's really confident because he's really good, and we've seen him really I think he's had a really good 6 weeks of work and development, continuing to develop in the outfield. The reality is he's not a finished product out there, but he's got the skill set to not just be okay out there, but to be really, really good out there with his speed, his what should be great range, his throwing ability. I think he's going to, my expectation for him, and I've told him this, is I want you to turn into a Gold Glover out there. And I think that's his ceiling out there. That's realistic. But it is a work in progress. He is a very young player without a ton of experience because he has some injuries coming up through the minor leagues. But he's very comfortable in his own skin. He's a great kid. He's very accountable. He works very hard. So I expect over time that it's going to be really good.
You think it's a physical thing with him or mental? Because when I hear center fielder turn left field, you think he can, and then some of the routine plays he's been missing, which makes me think it might be mental.
Yeah, I think it's just, again, like even in center field, like you know, he's 21, 22 years old, but which is obviously a young major league player, but he's also, again, going back, he hasn't logged a lot of playing time in the minor leagues because of different injuries or different years. So he doesn't have that level of experience that a normal 22-year-old kid that's been in the system 6 or 7 years would have. So I think it's about reps. I think it's the physical part of it, and I think he'll get there.
So we're talking to Aaron Boone, who is with us. We're at the stadium, BT and Sal, on the Fan. So I want to place the Dominguez stuff this way. If you took all the young kids, say 24 and under that are in the majors, put him in a prospect camp, he would shine like a diamond. He could run. He's got a good body. He's got pop. He's got an arm. He's got all that stuff. And to me, and I could be wrong, Aaron, you tell me if I am, it doesn't look like the game comes easy to him, like in that instinctual, even Volpe has it. Jeter certainly had that extra sense. I'm not saying he's got to be Jeter. I'm not saying that at all. But does the game come naturally enough for him where he can just let his talents flow?
Yeah, I actually think it does. Now, again, I still think he's finding his way defensively, but offensively, I think the game moves kind of slow for him in a good way.
Okay.
He's very natural. He's got an ability to control the strike zone. He's got, you know, he can hit the ball with authority to all fields, but that ability to control the strike zone, and he does have kind of a, for as fast as he is, like that kind of slow motor, so he is able to slow things down. But I think defensively, it's just about continuing to get reps and experience.
Okay.
And again, I think that will happen over time.
All right, I don't want to tell you what to do, as I would never do that, but I would suggest what I would do if I was Aaron Boone. I would bat Aaron Judge third. I want to know the logic, because to me, I like Wells as a leadoff hitter, a bit unconventional, but I think he's going to be very good with that. If I'm looking at the top three or four hitters, and probably Goldschmidt four, whatever, Wells one, Bellinger two, who can run, and then you get the protection with Judge behind him. Is that more Judge wanting to hit two? Is that more an organ? Like, why is Judge not hitting third? I don't understand that.
Well, because of our left-right balance.
Simple as that?
So, for me, yeah, if I had the – now, look, I do believe kind of your best hitter should probably hit in the two-hole. There's a case to be made one. There's a case to be made two, maybe three, four. Like, last year was the perfect storm with Juan hitting in front of him. Man, I had that left-right combination. It just made so much sense. But the reality is I want those extra plate appearances that you're going to accumulate in the course of a season. And because I think the bottom of our order – has a chance to be very relevant and very good, even better, should be better than last year. So I think there's going to be run scoring opportunities for him there. If you're saying the Wells, Bellinger, Judge, then who?
Goldschmidt. Okay. Lefty, righty.
All I'm doing there is increasing my chances of netting left-on-left matchups in the middle of the game over the course of a season for those top guys. Mm-hmm. Then I'm getting right-on-right matchups, like for the righty killer in the pen.
Yep.
I want to net a bad matchup in the course of the middle of games when a lot of times the game's in the balance.
I understand that. I guess what – and I don't know the math behind this, and I'm sure you guys do, analytically speaking, of course. But to me, and I get the matchup thing, what you're trying to avoid – but it would, to me, it makes sense to make Bellinger as comfortable as possible with an absolute, with the best player in baseball behind him, I don't know if that would offset the lefty-righty-righty stuff enough to justify it, but that's why I asked the question.
We'll see. Yeah. And I would say this. It's March 27th.
I got
so,
you.
Like, there's a lot to play out in this. And yeah.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up because I was thinking along the same lines. This has nothing to do with comfort for Judge. He didn't come to you and say, I want to hit number two.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I think Judge would actually prefer three.
Okay, so then if it wasn't Wells, because it wasn't always supposed to be Wells at the top, and if you're saying it's a lefty-righty thing, let's just say hypothetically and Volpe or Dominguez.
And really, and realistically, the three-hitter comes up more than anyone else with nobody on base. That's
statistically
facts.
Proven.
Statistically proven.
So you want Judge up with guys on?
Yeah, yeah. Now last year was unique in that we had a 430 on base hitting in front of him. You know?
What happened to that guy again?
He's on.
I heard you didn't like colors. Eh?
That's color.
I love that you said that. By the way, I love that you said that. Oh, he can hit, but I don't know about those colors. Good for you.
How about Austin Wells here leading off? He looks like he's going to be a beast this year. He's had success in spring. What do you feel about Austin Wells going into the season?
Yeah, I'm fired up. I think he's a great player. I really do. I think he's going to become a cornerstone player for us. I have really high expectations for him on both sides of the ball. He's becoming more and more of a leader in our room and with our staff. I think he's going to be one of the game's really good two-way catchers. I think that's what he is going to be for a number of years now.
All-star ceiling with Wells?
I think so, yeah.
I do, too. All right, so Volpe. Love the kid. And not just because he's from here. I love the story, but I love his work ethic. He's all baseball. And you can obviously validate that more than me. You're around him every day. But it's just like he's a baseball player. Got to get on base more, man. Mm-hmm. I know if I'm you, you'd rather have him batting leadoff, but it's tough to justify when you have a 29% or 30% on base percentage. I get that. How many more levels are there to Volpe's development?
Yeah, I think there are. I mean, I expect him to turn into a good offensive player in this year. In this league.
Like a consistent one.
Yes.
Because he's pretty good in spots.
Yeah, he's definitely had moments in his first 2 years offensively. He's been a gold glover, obviously, defensively. But offensively, it's been up and down. There's been inconsistencies there. But I absolutely think we're going to look up in a few years, and we're going to see a really great all-around shortstop. And I feel like the back end of the season, the playoffs, hopefully we're a jumping-off point where he was so good. I feel like he's swinging the bat really well in spring training. So I'm excited to see what he does this year in year three. I'm expecting a big
jump year for him, Aaron.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Judge got a taste of it. You got a taste of it.
Yeah.
Is it World Series? Look, I know that results may vary and all that stuff, but once you taste that, what you guys did a year ago.
Man, yeah. I mean, that's what you want to play for. That's you're playing for the ultimate prize, especially here. But you know, it's also so far away. We gotta take care of so many things as a club, individually, as a team, that hopefully we put ourselves in a position to go fight for that in October. But that's for another day.
We appreciate your time.
Yep.
Good luck. Stay healthy. Get healthy this season. Hopefully you guys are standing in a World Series there this time with a different result.
Great seeing you guys.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks
Boone.
A lot, man. I know you're busy. Thank you very much, Skip. Good stuff. There
Yankee
you go.
Manager Aaron right. Boone, kind enough. Do we get some good pictures? Come on.
Yeah, we got to get a picture here.
We are excited to be joined right now by Yankee legend Andy Pettit. You can't say opening day at Yankee Stadium, BT, it feels like, without Andy Pettit. Welcome aboard, Andy. How are you?
Thank you. I'm wonderful.
You'll be throwing out the first pitch today. A little different from taking those opening day starts.
Yeah. Super excited. Just honored that they'd asked me to do it. And I'm here. I'm here with the team. And so it's exciting. It's going to be fun. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, make sure you stretch. You can't be short hopping that first. No. You going to the rubber? You going to the slope? What are we doing there, Pettit?
I got to go to the rubber.
Yes,
right?
You have to.
I got to figure out the strategy today because last year I threw out the first pitch of the playoffs.
And I remember.
I was loose. I've been throwing BP to the team. I throw it 45 feet though. When I throw batting practice to back up that extra 15 feet,
yeah,
I didn't quite make it there. I gave him a little short hop, so I was kind of embarrassed. I reared back and threw it pretty hard. So I don't know. We got to find a happy medium where I throw a strike. That's the most important thing.
Something I never thought would give Andy Pettit pitching advice. What you got to do is you got to aim high because when you aim high and you're a little short, as we get older, we're going to be shorter,
I'm shrinking,
and then it's right over the middle of the plate.
There
you just got to go high.
Yeah, and the slope, you know, everything.
Yeah.
It's just a big difference. I'm out there throwing on flat ground, so I got to make the adjustment today.
How do you feel about this Yankees Yankees team. Last time they were in the World Series, obviously, get there last year, first time since 2009. How do you feel about the Yankee expectations going into this year?
Yeah, I feel good about them, you know. Obviously, you know, when you ask me that question, the first thing you think about is losing our ace, right, with Garrett Cole going down. But you look at it, and it's like every year you got to overcome stuff, right? And that's how I look at it this year. It's going to give some people opportunities to step up. And, you know, when I broke into the Yankees, I would have never maybe gotten the opportunity if we didn't have a couple of guys get injured. You know, Melito Perez and Jimmy Key went down, and it gave me my chance. And for two offseasons in a row, they talked about they were going to trade me, this and that, and I was able to step in and really build my career, you know, and that first season and really settle in. And then the rest is kind of history. And I look at that as an opportunity for someone. So on the pitching side, obviously when you see Garrett go down, we know Hill's going to be a little behind, but he's on the mend. It's coming back. Clark's down in Tampa still trying to get him back. What a great arm he is.
He's good.
Really need him. He's really good. We need him back in this rotation. But we've got some guy. Will Warren's going to step up. I do believe that. He's still developing and growing as a pitcher. And Marcus is still here, obviously. Of course, you bring in Max, and what a great addition he is to the club. Carrasco has been unbelievable. I love the presence that he's going to bring. And, of course, our opening day starter today, Carlos Rodon. And Carlos is, I think, continuing to grow as a pitcher and figuring all this out, and excited to watch him work today. So feel real good about the team. I really do. We got some good additions offensively. I love Belly. I love, you know, Goldie, them guys coming on. So, you know, you got to go play the games, and you got to go see how we gel. Spring training was great. It seemed like the chemistry of the team is really, really good. Booney's done a great job with that, so I'm super excited about where we're at.
What's it like now? You guys obviously won at 96, and you had a rough first outing. I remember that game with Andrew Jones, right, twice?
Yep.
I mean, that was a rough start. Of course, you wound up proving your mettle very quickly thereafter and becoming an all-time Yankee pitcher, but it's not easy. I mean, we make it sound easy on the radio, but there's a lot of young players that were on this World Series stage a year ago. How does that help them this year?
It's huge. It really is. I don't know if people can really understand that, but just understanding the whole, you know, process of this, the atmosphere. It's just like you just talked about, game one of the World Series. I had just pitched game five to get us to the World Series and was very comfortable in that situation, right? And I'll never forget flying back to New York, and Joe Torre calls me up to the front of the plane and says, "Hey, how do you feel about starting game one of the World Series?" I'm thinking, what the heck? I just pitched. Why am I starting game one?
And you were a young kid.
Exactly.
23 maybe?
Yes, exactly. Wow. And so I'm like, hang on. You got David Cohn. You got Jimmy Key. It's their turn to pitch. You know what I mean? So I started playing that game up in my mind just so much. And put so much pressure on myself going out for game one. And it was a disaster. I couldn't even tell you when I came out of that game what some of the pitches that I was even throwing, the sequences that I was throwing. I was just so out of sorts. But then it happened like that, and then just to be able to regroup, to kind of get back to yourself, and then to be able to go into Atlanta and be able to do what I did, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, it is the learning experiences that you hope that everyone gets out of every game that they play, every opportunity, hopefully every big moment that they have, how you can control your emotions as a pitcher, making quality pitches, not letting the moment get too big. It's huge for these guys to have had that experience, and also to have been there and to taste it and to know what it feels like. And you hope that drive and that hurt just makes them play every day of this season, no matter what's going on, with the same urgency of knowing that's what you have to do. That's the urgency you have to be able to get to where you want to in October. And that should be our goal, you know, to be able to get back to that World Series. And it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter. No one's going to feel sorry for you. You got to strap up your boots and get after it and play the games. And come together as a team.
BT and Sal, the Fan, live at Yankee Stadium, joined by Andy Pettit. One of the things I loved about you, I mean, truth be told, I grew up a Met fan, so I actually hated you. But one of the things I loved about you was you were one of the great competitors in the sport at your time. And you did it here in New York on the biggest stages. You're not a guy that's from New York, but you represented New York almost more than anybody, or as well as anybody, with that competitive fire. Is that something that was always just in you? Did you feed off of the energy in New York? What was that like to be as competitive as you were for this town, this fan base?
Yeah, you know, I was always very competitive. you know, my personality is not real outgoing. I kind of like to stay in the background. So being on the mound at Yankee Stadium was something that I really had to grow to feel comfortable with, and got so comfortable with it. But, you know, my stuff, even as a minor leaguer, I didn't have the best stuff. I didn't throw 95 miles an hour, you know. I pitched at 91 to 92 whenever I was in my prime. I could maybe get up to 94. I think I threw one or two pitches in my career at 94 miles an hour. So it was always a grind for me, and I always had to make pitches. And so I think just as I went through the minor leagues and then obviously coming up here at the big league level, being in trouble, knowing that the way I had to get it done was to grind through it, to be competitive, to mentally stay engaged every single pitch. And that was kind of where I felt like that I kind of earned my medal at. You know,
yeah,
what I'm
sure.
saying? It wasn't with – I don't think I ever threw a fastball right down the middle in my whole career. Like,
you
I
couldn't?
Was – oh, I couldn't. I mean, exactly. I just – I could not do that. And so, you know, just – and then, of course, you have success early in your career, and then, of course, you realize what it's like to win here and how great it is. And it almost – it's almost like addicting. It kind of gets built inside of you. And, you know, you were just so hungry every year. And we had a great group of guys. Obviously, we had a great owner in Mr. Steinbrenner. What he did, the way he pushed us, we knew that if we weren't getting our job done, that he was going to bring somebody in here to get it done. And he done a wonderful job. Obviously, Hal's doing a great job building the team, putting a championship caliber team out on the field every year. But all those things all together, you know, the players that I had around me, the group that we had, we all wanted to just get after it every single day, and we just had a great chemistry together.
Well, we can live another 50 years, all, and God willing, and we might not see a collection of that talent and that chemistry and that toughness and that resolve. That was just obviously a special group. Andy Pettit with us here, BT and Sal on the Fan. You mentioned George. You mentioned Hal. You've been in the family here for almost 40 years, just 35, 40 years, just about. Are you surprised that they got rid of the facial or amended the facial hair policy? Because when I see Pettit, I see glove over his face.
Oh, that stare.
Little 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, big nose like me as well. Yeah, I got a little bit of schnoz on me,
you got
too.
A big nose? I don't know. Nobody's ever told me I had a big nose.
But I could see you in October having more than one day growth like you used to. Would you have bought into that? And are you surprised they changed the policy?
Yeah, so... I was a little surprised just because I had heard rumblings of it a little bit, you know, talk of it last year maybe a little bit. But then, you know, Hal called me in the office in spring training and asked me, you know, my thoughts on it and stuff like that. And I'm not surprised with seeing where some of the stuff that he told me that, you know, we might be losing a few players that
Devin
we would want.
Vocal about that.
You know, Devin. So, you know. Look, times changes, things change.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, you just said it. I had a 5 o'clock shadow. I pitched. I shaved after the game. And then I prayed that we didn't have a rain out where it was my sixth day or it was an off day, because I did not want to shave before I pitched.
Uh-huh.
I just did not want to be smooth shaved. I don't know, you know.
And I
actually mentioned that to Hal. I said, I don't know. I don't know if it made me look tougher, but I wanted to look tough. And he goes, no, I think a lot of people have told me that, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, you just – there was something about feeling a little rugged out there on the mound, you know.
Clemens, too.
And so I loved it. I mean, I love that it's the, you know, we're going to always be classy here, you know. But there's so many things that have changed now as far as when I played, you had to have black spikes. You know what I mean?
Now we
got all kinds of
celebrations,
spikes.
We
got all kind of different.
The neon
colors.
Arm sleeves.
Exactly. We got all kind of different belts and stuff like that going on. So, you know, times change. We got to keep up with it. The players are a little bit different. If that's important to the players now, you know. I told him that if he felt like it was something that needed to be changed and felt, you know, I backed him 100% on it, and I don't think it's an issue.
Do you think you belong in the Hall of Fame?
Oh man, I've said this before over and over. I never felt like a Hall of Fame pitcher. You know what I'm saying? Because of the reasons why I just told you. The Hall of Fame players that I saw were Wade Boggs, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. I watched them guys for years and years, not Boggsy, but Jeter and Mariano. And the game was just – it looked so easy for them, and it was so difficult for me. Obviously, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of traction just from the standpoint of it was C going in maybe. But that would be a great honor if that was ever to happen. But, you know, we'll see how that all works out.
I ask it. because I believe you are a Hall of Famer because of the success you had in the postseason, Yankee Dynasty, we went over all that stuff. And then I wonder if the PED stuff, which is obviously a blemish, maybe the one blemish on your career, is has taken you out of the mind frame of some of the voters or the people who, you know, have a say about you getting back in potentially. But I think there are guys in the Hall of Fame that I would rather have you start a game, a do-or-die game over, which is why I say I think Andy Pettit should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, again, I have no idea as far as what's hurt me or helping me or whatever, but I'm just honored to be on the ballot and to be talked about each and every year like I am.
And it is different with you, Andy, with the PED stuff, because you came out, addressed it head-on, took accountability, where a lot of these guys who aren't getting in, Bonds, McGuire, A-Rod, so on and so forth, they have no chance because they have been lying about it. But for you, at least, you addressed it head-on.
Well, it was easy for me to address. It was very simple and for me to share exactly what I had done and why I did it. And really, that's it. I did not have anything to hide. I continued to play, I'm not sure, for 6 or 7 years, you know, after that. And it hasn't been an issue. It wasn't an issue when I played. I'm not exactly sure why, as far as with the fans and stuff like that. But just very thankful and very blessed, again, to be able to have continued to play and have the long career that I had.
And Andy, by the way, you know, and I would agree with Sal, based on your postseason prowess and being a staple at the top of the rotation for one of the most dominant dynasties of all time, not just you, but I think Posada, I'm not saying that they should all be in. I want to be clear. I'm not just going to say that because you're sitting in front of me, but I think that a lot of players that you played with should have garnered more respect. Bernie should have gotten more votes. Posada should have gotten more votes. And I don't understand why they seem to, that Yankee dynasty seems to be kind of glossed over a little bit, not in terms of our hearts or the memory of baseball fans, but in terms of Cooperstown. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why. I hate to admit it, I'm not like a great stat hound as far as like paying attention to exactly what I even did in my career as far as number-wise and stuff like that, much less everyone else, the other names that you just mentioned. But it does seem that they did not get very much attention from the standpoint of Bernie and Georgie. Those are two of the greatest players that I've ever played with.
Hey, you got two switch hitters, champions. What are we doing here?
I mean, it's really – and again, I don't even know. I wish I knew how many homers they had or whatever.
I got you.
But so you're saying that. They're obviously great friends of mine. I would love nothing more than to see those guys be celebrated in great, great ways. So I'm not sure why.
Well, listen, man. I know we know you have a busy day today. Make sure that wing is nice and lubed up before you go out. No worm burners. No 55 footers. Get a 60 feet, 6 inches, little cut.
It's been 25 years since Game 1 of the 2000 World Series. Zeal's ball should have gone out. Zeal wore you out.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And that ball hit the top of the fence.
Top of the wall.
And Timo Perez, you guys threw him out.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge play. That was a huge play. I guess you play golf with Todd. Tell Todd he needed to hit it a tiny bit further.
a little more on the sweet spot, Andy. He got it in his hands. Just a little bit on the thin part of the bat.
Bad pitch selection. I should have stayed away from him. I don't think he had power the other way.
I should have stayed away from him.
I think the greatest compliment you could pay a player is if an opposing fan base hated you when you played. From a Met perspective, you were that guy because you were just so damn good, as I said before. I think you belong in the Hall of Fame. Good luck with the first pitch today. Pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much, Andy Pettit. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Thank
Class
you.
Act.
There is just something about, even from somebody who grew up as a Mets fan, there's just something about, like, I love the history of the sport, and there is no more storied franchise than the New York Yankees. Walking up, I took the subway off, seeing the stadium, seeing the billboard today, 305, Yankees, Brewers. There is something about opening day, especially at this stadium, that is just incredibly special in this town.
Never gets old, never will. You know, the red, white, and blue bunting is just glorious. The grass is perfect. The dirt is as manicured as it could be. The cameras are starting to pop up. Really cool. And extra thanks to Aaron Boone coming up and coming up to where we are. you know, he's got a season to manage and get ready for. He carved out some time, which was awesome. We appreciate that, Andy, as well. Andy was great. You get a chance to talk to these luminaries and, you know, connect the dots of previous generations and championship moments. There's nothing like the Yankees. It's
yeah.
Just not.
And, of course, we'll get into the Mets, who open as well today. We could do that a little bit later on, but we'll focus Yankees here for at least this first hour, BT. And we talked about it with Booney and a little bit with Pettit. But, you know, for me, the biggest key to this Yankee team going into the season is the young guys. We could pinpoint and go over certain things, which young guy. But if these young guys, and maybe Dominguez, the most important of all, we've had that conversation back at the studio over the last several weeks, if not months. But Dominguez, if... Because to me, the ceiling is so high, but the floor is, we don't know. There's a chance Dominguez could be playing in the minors in a month. I don't think that that's outlandish to say. It would be bad, but I think it's realistic that Dominguez could be in the minors, or in maybe a couple of months, he could be the leadoff hitter and being a superstar. So for me, he's probably the biggest X factor, but overall, even with the pitching injuries, I still think it's about the young guns for the Yankees.
Yeah, I think that that's going to largely define who they are, Sal. I don't totally disagree. I've got a couple others I'll throw in there in a moment. But I, you know, one thing that a lot of major leaguers and more so former players say when they talk about the game, you know, what separates somebody who sticks around for a long time and does well versus somebody who's, you know, bouncing up and down between AAA and the bigs or even AA is the consistency aspect. It is very elusive for many. It is a high fail rate. Baseball's hard. And I'll tell you what, from a consistency, on the consistency meter, I look at, in terms of confidence for me, I've got the most confidence in Wells. Volpe, I know he's a player. I'm not incredibly confident he's going to be a star.
Right, we know his floor.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good fielder. He can run. He's got a little pop. He's good, but I think Wells could be an all-star. I don't know that I see that in Volpe's future necessarily. The least amount of confidence would be Dominguez, not in his toolbox, but just because, you know, he hasn't done it. And the few times we've seen him, he's looked a little overwhelmed defensively. And if you can't catch pop-ups and you know, that's going to haunt you, then you're not going to play that much for the Yankees.
You know, and my concern would be, and Boone just said it, like, we see the actions of these teams that do it nowadays. It's not just the Yankees, but Boone said it. He's a young kid. He hasn't had many reps in the minor leagues, and yet he's going to be starting on opening day in left field for the Yankees. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, wouldn't it benefit everybody to have him actually play some more games in the minor leagues and, you know, get used to catching balls in the outfield? Because it could be detrimental if it's not a physical thing, and I don't think anybody thinks it's a physical thing, because Colt, you could put him out there in left field. All kidding aside, he's going to catch some pop-ups. Like, that should be one of the easier things to do, catch a ball, throw a ball. I'm not trying to make fun of him.
It's a basic component of
playing. Yeah, it's a basic component.
Yeah, we can all do it.
When you see a guy that athletically skilled in Dominguez messing around like that in left field, you start to think it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
One error turns into a mind bleep of I'm screwed here and just have no confidence. So wouldn't it benefit him to be then building up that confidence and getting more comfortable in the minors?
Yeah, I mean, but that's why I did not want him batting leadoff. I mean, now you're trying to reestablish, or not even reestablish, after the 8 or 9 games he had a couple of years ago where he looked like Mickey. But so I'll say established, because he hasn't really established anything yet as a major leaguer. That's why I did not like him batting leadoff here, to juggle the defensive miscues and trying to, you know, get his identity and his profile as a hitter. That's just a lot to ask. You know, I think, and I'm surprised with Boone's answer, I believe, Aaron, for the most part, I don't think he's lying. I was a little surprised with his answer. Like, I'm going to respectfully disagree. I don't think that the game necessarily comes easy for Dominguez. Remember I asked him that question?
Yes.
Like, I look at somebody who's got, you know, that lower base and that quick twitch and that arm and that, you know, that sheer power from both sides and that velocity throwing the baseball. I mean, you put him at a tryout, you could be like, just give this guy $10 million and get him in AAA and then soon get him in the majors. Like, even if you never heard of the kid, he just jumps off the page. But when you don't take good routes to balls, I'm sorry, it doesn't look like the game is very natural to you, and that's what worries me. But he's going to get a runway. That's what Boone said. He's going to get a ramp. He has to. We got to find out, and I said this to you during the winter. There's no way I'm going into 2026 not knowing, you know, throwing darts at, like, the Jason Dominguez player board. Who is he? What is he? No, I need answers, and I think they're going to get an answer this year.
And offensively, I certainly have much more confidence than we do just overall and defensively. But the Yankees didn't used to operate like this, and they also haven't had the guys that they believe or just highly touted, whatever, these top prospects, they haven't had those guys develop successfully to be able to sustain the success or reach the potential. That has been a pattern here, whether it is Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres, Greg Bird. Now, there are all different reasons behind some of those guys,
yep.
And there are many more as well. Judge, we know, is the one who hit, and I don't remember Judge being – I remember the size being talked about, but some of the stuff that I was hearing was strikes out too much. It wasn't, oh, my God, this guy's going to be a superstar. It was, oh, my God, this guy turned into a superstar. So they've had an issue with developing these guys to reach their full potential a couple of times over now, and just throwing Dominguez kind of to the wolves here, mm-hmm. while I think his bat is going to help them early on,
yeah.
I still don't know if that's the right way to ultimately have the sustained success and reach full potential.
I think they've got to do it to work around some of these contracts that are handcuffing them.
But don't you think that's a problem?
Well, it could be, unless he plays well. But, like, think about this, Sal. Well, I get your point. Like, if he doesn't play well, could it ruins a bit strong?
Right, but
set him back maybe more than you would want.
Volpe, same thing.
It's possible.
To a certain extent, would Volpe the same thing?
But he earned it in spring.
Okay.
He maybe sent them down a couple years ago, sent them down.
Okay, he earned it in spring. Great, but he wasn't expected to get the job, so he won it based off of his spring training.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. But then he struggled in the big leagues.
He did.
And what that can do, and they didn't send him down, and then he kind of got out of it and leveled out a little bit, but mm-hmm. he never came close to reaching his full potential.
I agree.
So maybe that got into his mind and said, man, I don't know. And then year two, a little better in some areas, not as good in some others. He's still a player who's trying to figure it out.
But I think the psychology of every player is different, and I don't know how Volpe processed the struggles. I don't know how Dominguez will process the inevitable struggles. Like, some players, they can feel better about their situation when they know the team's going to stick with them. And I think it might actually have an adverse effect. Like, if if Dominguez hits, 209 in the first month and he butchers four balls in the outfield and the Yankees ship him down to AAA, I don't know what kind of baseball character resolve he has. That might actually be worse, because now it's like, man, do they really believe in me? And you start to question who you are. You could dig the hole a little bit deeper. But the bottom line is this, Sal. You look around, and I'm looking at an empty field right now. The starting first baseman, not a Yankee draft pick. The starting second baseman, not a Yankee draft pick. You know, you get to obviously right field, that's Judge. Behind the dish, that's a Yankee draft pick, and Wells and Volpe as well. But center field, Belly, nope. I mean, third base, we'll see what happens. If DJ LeMahieu was healthy, I think that DJ probably would be starting at third base, and he was not a Yankee draft pick. So this is a very interesting transition for the Yankees, where they've got to get rid of some dead money eventually. They're going to be good. How good, we don't know. They're not going to go bonkers with, more money until they get rid of some bad money. But they're good enough to win. I mean, they were in the World Series a year ago. So their down point, or their point of reevaluation, is still pretty good.
BT and Sal on the Fan before we take a break. And we get in some calls if you'd like as well. 888-808-1019 on this opening day. We'll work in the Mets into the conversation as well. Jack Curry tweeted out the expected opening day Yankee lineup.
Okay.
I mean, I wrote it down before when we had Boone.
You want me to guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go. All right, let's go Austin Wells 1.
Yep.
Let's go Aaron Judge 2.
Yep.
Let's go Belly 3.
Yep.
Let's go Goldschmidt 4. Let's go Jazz 5. Let's go. I'm going to probably say Volpe 6 or Dominguez.
Dominguez 6.
Okay, Dominguez 6, Volpe 7. Who am I missing? I'm missing third base. Ben Rice.
Ben Rice 8.
And then Cabrera over third base.
Bingo,
nine.
Yeah.
There you
so,
go.
As
I like
said,
that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be
the lineup.
I like
it for now.
Yeah. And by the way, I loved what he said, because I wanted to ask him the same thing, too, about just why Bellinger Judge. Give the explanation. And he basically said it was a lefty-righty thing.
Yep.
But if it's not Wells then leading off, what if it is Dominguez eventually, or what if it is Volpe eventually?
Well, you get switch hitter for Dominguez,
right?
And then you'd have Volpe.
No, that's
the
what I'm
righty.
Saying. So,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, go ahead.
So my point then is you wouldn't have Bellinger and Wells, the two lefties, stacked. So if it is, now obviously if it were Jazz, then you still would have that problem with the two lefties stacked. But if it is anybody other than Wells and Jazz, meaning that Dominguez or Volpe specifically, if they lead off, then why not Bellinger maybe 2 and Judge 3? I don't know if he would make that change necessarily.
Well, remember what he said to us.
Yeah.
He said it's March 20, whatever it is.
Still possible.
Yeah.
It depends on how Wells
is doing. I think it's kind of fluid. If Bellinger's hitting 230, Bellinger ain't sticking there.
Right.
If Austin Wells is drowning, he's not. I think that the top part, now I have belief in the top five, the top top six or seven hitters, I feel. Actually, I don't love the lineup, but I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah.
And I think there's some good potential.
It could be great.
I don't think the top is going to be a mess. I'd be very surprised if Wells... I'd be much more surprised if Wells drowns than Dominguez. I expect Wells to be good, and I expect Bellinger to be good.
Right, and if you look at it that way, and then you get one of the young guys to pop and Goldschmidt to be solid, that's where you say, well, this could be a good to great lineup. If you look at it and say, I'm not sure about Bellinger, I don't know about Wells leading off, Goldschmidt's old, Jazz inconsistent, all the young guys going to pop, then it could be bad.
You could frame it two ways. I get it.